monster made from head to toe, have been, and always will be, you jackass.
Taking all of his clothes here, shirts, suits.
Suits, ties, that's me. I've lived the life of a king because the people have allowed me to. Woo!
She's actually hurt.
No, I think she is.
Yeah, she's hurt. She took a hard fall off there.
Okay. Boy,
gosh, I hope she's okay.
Mm-hmm. The sound of the go-to guy right there. Milking it up today. Hey, it's Paca. No go-to guy today, but Christopher Anthony Kidd is here, so the show about nothing will continue with its outstanding, terrible radio for 3 hours. All right?
The show
actually
must go on.
It's an upgrade with Chris here. And Chris is always here. Chris now more prominent role. The go-to guy? Sick. Uh-huh. The old Friday sick news dump. Guys, not going to be able to make it in. Really. Don't really feel that great. Sorry about that. Uh-huh. So what do we do and how do we react to that news today? The only way that we know how. I would like a Jim Moore is lying about being sick voicemail segment today on the iHeartRadio app. You can leave a voicemail. Do it every single day. It's a 30-second voicemail on the iHeartRadio app. All that we are asking for today is, what is Jim actually doing today instead of not being here and lying about being sick? What is Jim Moore actually doing today? Voicemails on the iHeartRadio app. First thing I said to him this morning, Chris knows because he's on the text thread. I don't need to tell Chris. Have fun playing golf. And then he sends a screenshot of the weather. You think I'd play in this?
Sure.
I do. I do think you would play in this. Think you would play in snow. Didn't require you to come into work today. So no go-to guy today, but that's fine. The good news about not having the go-to guy here today is that Corey Brock has agreed to come on the radio show. And Corey has maintained for many, many months and years, I'll come on your show as long as he's not there. These are the type of enemies that the go-to guy has made over a decade plus of covering sports in this town. Corey Brock will join us coming up at 10:30. Special guest at 11:05. I would imagine that many people have never heard of this name, and that's okay. Scott Rosenthal, I think we talked about this yesterday. Scott Rosenthal is a golf instructor. Now, he's a golf... Now, this is a lot of pandering here. He's a golf instructor down at Inner Bay, right down the street from us, where probably many of you people go a lot to go hit golf balls. Well, he has got a student he teaches, right? And he's got a student that's in the U.S. Open by the name of Andrew Novak, who at one point yesterday was the leader after 9 holes of the U.S. Open. And so we're like, hey, you know what? And he's a good guy. Scott's a good guy. So he's going to come on today at 11:05, talk about his just everything that's going on there, him being a teacher, first time he's ever had a student in a major, and it's got to be really kind of cool stuff for him. So he'll join us coming up at 11:05. And, of course, every Friday, 12:05, the Principal Alp, Christopher Egan. Can't play Louie Louie today. That's right. Headlines brought to you by VenueKings.com. Why can't you play? Well, you know why. Mariners got boat raced again last night. I guess not really boat raced. 4-1 losers there to the Angels. Drops them now to 28-36. 6.5 games back in the wild card. And Mike Trout, my God, just does it again. 49 career home runs versus the M's. 30 of those have happened at T-Mobile Park. 30. 30 of the 49 home runs at that damn ballpark. Kirby was good again. 2 earned runs in 6 innings. Today it's going to be Robbie Ray, Michael Lorenzen on the mound. We'll have more on the Mariners. There's some things happened in the Mariners pregame there yesterday. I need to have resolved. I've already made my calls to the Mariners on this one. I just had a dad concern. That's how I referenced the call, a dad concern. We'll get to those coming up later. The Warriors claim their fourth title in 8 years. Klay with another title. And that is 1,099 days after tearing his ACL. And then, of course, he, in his setback of the ACL, he tears his Achilles. He misses over 2.5 years of his NBA career, of his prime. And he gets back. He was as emotional. I think all three of those guys, you know, and Iguodala too as well. But you throw in the three, right? As emotional as three players can possibly be. Because they heard all the talk, and I think they're up there in age, that their window of winning a championship was closed. That they would never do it again. They could never win another title without Kevin Durant. I think it goes to show the excellence of all three of those guys, Green, Curry, and Klay, to again win another title. Do it without Durant. They'd already done it before without Durant. Steve Kerr gets another one. Do you know how many titles that is for Steve Kerr?
Seven?
Close. Nine. I believe it's nine.
Let me do it.
Five as a player, four as a coach.
That sounds right.
God, that's amazing. Somebody said he has won 12% of all the NBA finals. Does that math add up?
That's a lot of math to do right now, but...
Or did I read that wrong? I mean, it's incredible.
Because how many... There's been what?
He's amazing.
That's, I mean, a lot,
just
of
an amazing accomplishment for them. And they close it out. And again, we said this yesterday. I think for them, one, if you they could have picked, you guys are going to win the series. You want to win it at home or win it there. Okay. I ain't sweeter winning it there. On
really?
That, I just think, I know it's not the old guard, but it's Boston. You know, a team that was trying to win another championship to tie or to break the tie with the Lakers. You know, the Lakers and the Celtics are the top of the echelon when it comes to NBA teams. And I just think, as a competitor, there's something about winning it on the other teams, you know, to dance and to celebrate.
On their court.
You got the GM with his shorts on, no socks, no shoes.
Yeah, court.
just sitting mid-court smoking cigars and drinking champagne. So.
Yeah, I hear you on that one.
So I just think there might be a little something to that, just winning it there. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. We'll get more into it today. Sue Bird retiring. Are announcing her retirement at the end of the season. Seattle selected as a 2026 World Cup city. Good for them. Round one of the U.S. Open in the books. Round two is underway. Callum Tarrant is off right now. He is your leader. He's 1-under through 3. He is 4-under overall. Nick Hardy in the clubhouse, 268 today. He's at 3-under. Scottie Scheffler was outstanding today. Masters champion, 3-under 67. One shot back. David Lingmerth, Rory McIlroy, and our buddy Joel Damon, yet to tee off. They're all at 3-under there as well. Who else made a good run today? Matt Fitzpatrick was on a little bit of a heater. He's even through 17 right now. He is at 2-under. Matthew Nesmith, he's at 2-under there as well. And let's see, where's Phil Mickelson? Where's Phil? Where's Phil, Phil, Phil? 3-over through 17. 11 over. So Phil Mickelson will miss the cut there at the U.S. Open. Projected cut is... So 4. 4 over is going to get you in. So guys that are sitting outside right now, Montgomery, let's see, names that you would know. Kevin Na, Tony Finau, Jim Furyk, Grayson Murray, Nick Taylor, UW golfer. That's about it right now. Okay. Chris, how are you, sir?
Happy Friday.
Good, man. Happy Friday to you as well. What big guest do you have booked already for the hype tomorrow that we couldn't possibly get today?
No one right now.
No one. You are skunked right now.
We might just do a solo again like we did last week.
You can't really do a solo show when it was two of you, Chris.
Well, not solo as in by myself, but just us two.
Duo. It's okay. Just why don't you two just...
That's what we did last week, and it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So we might do it again, but... We might also talk to a writer that I think he's going to drop his feature on Steph Curry on Monday. He works for The Athletic. I think it's, I got to look at the name, but we might have him on.
Boy, I'll say this quickly about the Warriors. They had receipts yesterday in that postgame, huh?
Of course they did.
My God. I mean, it's such
Klay
a great.
Thompson.
Well, it's so crazy, I think, for athletes now because they're in such that social media world of everything. And so they and they just so much aware of what people are saying about them.
Absolutely.
Steph Curry getting up. They just won his fourth championship.
How many championships?
And I would think he did the thing with the goggles, or not the goggles, but the zero. Where was this from? This was from...
I forget what show, but it was Kendrick Perkins,
right?
And a couple others saying, how many championships will Steph get? You know, when it's all said and done.
Was this recently?
Yeah, this was probably... This was about this season, and they were asking, how many more championships will Steph Curry get?
All right.
And they were like, zero. How'd that work for you?
I love the pettiness of Curry. Some would then I would also then say, dude, you just won. Who cares about those guys? Like all of them. Who cares?
But it's sweeter though, right?
It is.
They counted you out. They count your team out. And full circle, the season has ended. And guess who's on top again?
Yeah. But do you think like the Kendrick Perkins and Dominique Fox, where they're like, oh man, got called out by Steph Curry. Like what the hell?
A little bit. Probably like, damn, I got that wrong.
I mean, I do enjoy Klay Thompson going after Jaren Jackson more than probably anything. Where Jaren Jackson had made the comment when beat him in the regular season, he was mocking their whole strength in numbers. And
idiot.
Klay had filed that one away. Yeah, just called him an idiot. Get an idiot on the podium. I mean, they're all hopped up on champagne anyway. So, you know, it's hitting the bloodstream. it's an interesting thing with those guys. You know, I touched on this a little bit yesterday with them, is that, you know, I don't know if they get enough credit. I think in this day and age of sports where guys are jumping all over the place, they're joining forces to build these super teams, their core of their team has stayed the same, and it's never changed.
Nope.
And it's those three guys. And you can throw in Iguodala in there because he's been along for all four of them as well, but it's those three.
It's the core, as you mentioned.
And they're homegrown. Guys were they were drafted by that team.
7, 11, and 35.
And they didn't go chase another bigger contract. They took, you know, in essence, less money to stay there and to at least make it manageable for them. And it's just something that doesn't happen in sports anymore. Sue Bird, well, I want to get into this later, because Sue Bird had a great quote in her press conference yesterday. And, you know, there's kind of two different camps when it comes to kind of sports, right? There's the camp that talks about the bags, right? There's a camp that's like, hey, it's my job. I'm going to get as much money as I possibly can. And then there's this other section, and I don't know what's right or wrong, I'll be honest with you, who is like, just want to win championships and I want to win, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. It's almost kind of what's happening here with this golf thing. You've got one side of players for LIV saying, golf is my profession. It's how I earn my money. I'm going to try and maximize everything I possibly can. When we had Joel Damon on yesterday, he didn't shoot it down. He didn't say he would never join it. All he said was, if they offered life-changing money, like, and said, here it is, guaranteed, this will change your life, he admitted, it'd be hard to turn down. It'd be hard to say no to that. You know, I'm not going to involve myself on where the money comes from. There's others who have said, you know, when it comes to golf, you know, specifically John Rahm, who comes out and says, it's more about legacy for me. McIlroy, same thing. You know, you bring it back to basketball and just the sports in general. When Bird was, I think it was a question by Larry Stone, or an answer, you know, from a question from Larry Stone, where she said, I quote, I play to win. I just want to be on a team that's able to win. What I find in sports, and this may be specific to women's sports, you get all the things you want when you win. You don't necessarily get those by looking at your bank account. Everyone has to figure that out for themselves. But that's what I found for me. She was talking about, because she took a pay cut this year. I think she went from like, and the money in women's sports is nothing like what it is in the men's sports. But she went from, I think, $220,000 to like $73,000. And it's amazing that one of the best players in league history, who of course is not what she was a few years ago, but she's still playing at a high level, is playing for $73,000.
That's disgusting.
I mean, it really is remarkable. And so she is probably more relatable than to our audience, because there's people in our audience who probably make from the spectrum of $220,000 all the way to $73,000. Somebody driving around right now, that's what I make. I make the same amount of money as Sue Bird. But her point being, and maybe it would change if the money was different in the WNBA. If you're getting NBA money, like $40 million. What would she be paid if she was in the NBA? She would be a what? A $25 million player?
Not a question.
A $30 million player? Certainly in her prime, she's that. But her point being, you know, there's two different camps. I just play to win. And she has won everywhere she has gone. I mean, I think I read this right or heard it right. She's got a high school championship. She obviously has a collegiate championship. She's got four WNBA championships. She has got over in Russia, I think she's in Europe. She's won one or two titles. She has five Olympic gold medals. I mean, she's winner. Just a winner. She wins. And, you know, we get caught up in sports all the time about money, fame, notoriety, the gossip of sports. At the end of the day, and I think this goes for all of them, even the ones that talk about the money, even the James Hardens of the world. I'm just going to use James Harden as an example because I think he's kind of one of the most polarizing athletes out there. I think, honestly, when you do cut them and you cut those guys open at the end of the day, now, maybe it's evolved and changed over time. Their fiber is to want to win. And I think you saw that last night, I think, in the court in Boston. You see the reaction, the emotion of Curry and all those guys, and Thompson and Kerr, the ones who've never won. Andrew Wiggins. How about Andrew Wiggins, a guy that has been, you know, in some circles of the league, a bust. Considered a bust. Really, never really living up truly to what Andrew Wiggins' potential was ever going to be on the NBA floor. Now, he's not. I mean, he's had a sensational year. He's the best thing for his career was to go to Golden State, where he didn't have to be the guy like he was in Minnesota. He could be a complimentary piece. Now, maybe he's going to develop his game into being what many people thought he was going to be coming out of college. But I don't know. I just think that we get caught up in all the other stuff sometimes, and I think we maybe as fans sometimes with athletes just think, God, isn't it just more about winning than anything? Don't you just want to win? You know, we always had this debate, right, with Russell Wilson, where he always talked about winning. Yeah, but like, all I care about is winning. Yeah, but when it comes to your contract, you're maximizing every inch and every ounce that you possibly can squeeze out of the team. Now, I fully understand the people on the other side say, but that's not his problem. That's their problem. They've got to build a better team around him. I see that side. But when someone is so outspoken about wanting to win, I guess it always comes back to how many millions is enough. If you make $35 million playing a sport, do you think you can get by making $22 million?
Nope. I need it all.
And sacrificing 13 of that to build a team around you? I don't know. I mean, I guess it's like what Sue says. It's up to the individual to decide.
Yeah.
What's best for them. I don't know about where you stand. I would think I would fall where she is. I would like to hope I would fall where she is.
Everything changes, though.
But it does change when you see it in front of you. I think the one thing that maybe in the last 20 years, I think with sports in general, because it wasn't this case when I was a kid, because the money wasn't the same. The money was never like this in professional sports. And it's not the player. It's not just the players. It's all of the greed of sports. And we've talked about this, I think, when it comes to college athletics, the greed of sports has kind of ruined it and tainted it a little bit for me over the years, and from everyone. Whether it's the TV networks, the coaches, the schools, the owners, all of it. I think they're all complicit and guilty of this. And then I felt like the last group were the players. But then they see people ahead of them, you know, the people that are writing the checks are like, well, all they care about is the money. So why shouldn't I care about the money? And I think it's the one regret, I think, of how much sports has boomed over the last 20 years with money is that it feels at times that the want to win has been robbed. The desire to win. The desire to, hey, we got knocked out in the playoffs. Instead of coming back in next year to better that team, I'm going to join another team to make it easier. You know, you could accuse Kevin Durant of that.
I hated that move so much. I'm not going to lie. I was really upset.
Sure. I mean, I understand that.
I get it.
I understand it from his perspective. I get that he wanted to join a winner and I think cement his legacy as a champion. And then once it was almost like he wanted to check a box off. I won a championship. Okay, now I can go back to trying to win it on my own. You know, it was very LeBron playbook. I mean, that's what it was. It was a LeBron James playbook. You know, I think for this group, which I think makes it different than any other championships that we have seen, you know, since the Spurs and the Bulls, is that this was a homegrown championship that was done from day one with a group of guys, the core of that team that they've added other pieces throughout the way. I don't know. That's kind of a little soapbox thing for me. It's just a little bit. I mean, I know sports is never going to change. We're never going back to the way it used to be, free agency money. And I'm not saying it should. There's just a little bit of that innocence of it now that has kind of been robbed because of the amount of wealth now that is in sports. I saw that quote from her reading it today from Sue Bird, and I just like, man, she gets it.
Yeah.
Now, it's not for everyone, but at least she gets it. And I think that's what probably makes her a pretty special athlete. Why many people regard her as the best Seattle athlete that has ever, you know, stepped foot in this city. All right, we'll get back to my dad complaints of the Mariners game. We'll get to that at 10:45. I got a few of them. Got a few dad complaints that have been expressed to management over there. And it's been, I think, accepted. I think they understand my issues. We'll present those at 10:45 to our audience. I know we got dads in the audience who are taking their kids to the games. You will eventually take your kids to the games. And I am doing this for you, Chris.
Well, thank you.
Whenever little Christopher or...
I can't tell you his name yet.
Is she pregnant?
No.
Oh. Okay, what if it's a girl?
Man, I'm fleeing the country. You'll never see me again.
You know what? Every guy says that.
I know.
You know what happens when it's a girl?
And then you just...
It's all over.
Yeah.
It's all over. So we'll get into that at 10:45. Corey Brock of the Athletic... You can follow him on Twitter, Corey Brock, MLB. He will join us next to talk about the Mariners losing yesterday. Where are they at, and how can they turn it around? Corey Brock coming up next.
Stay in touch with Seattle's sports leader anywhere, anytime. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/933KJR.
I'm Roger Condon with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy has been fined an undisclosed amount, and the team will lose a day of OTAs in 2023 for physical OTA practices, according to NFL Network's Mike Garofolo. Patrick Mahomes said he was a bit surprised by Tyreek Hill's comment suggesting that Tua Tagovailoa is a more accurate passer. As for the Chiefs, they wrapped up their three-day minicamp on Thursday. Lamar Jackson was at Ravens mandatory minicamp this week, but missed voluntary OTAs last week. The former league MVP said his absence was not contract related, and he's had talks with the team about an extension. Minkah Fitzpatrick made his first comment since becoming the highest paid safety in the NFL. The All-Pro saying, quote, "I think I'm one of the best at what I do." Fitzpatrick signed a four-year extension worth more than $73 million and $36 million guaranteed. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
It's a Friday extravaganza here on 93.3 KJR FM. It's a Flair Friday. It's a Drag Your Ass Friday. It's a no-go-to guy Friday. He is, quote, sick today. That means when he's sick, we can have this writer on because he's put it into his contract. I will not come on KJR with your show if Jim Moore is there. So joining us right now on the Beacon Plumbing Hotline from The Athletic, follow him on Twitter at Corey Brock MLB. It is, ladies and gentlemen, Corey Brock. Hi, Corey.
You know, for the record, that's not actually true. You know I love the banter that you and Jim have. And really, I'm just a third wheel. I just sit back and listen. Sometimes you guys don't even ask questions.
Well, sometimes. I think it's the majority of the time we don't ask a question. I'll ask you a question right off the bat. What the hell is wrong with them?
You're talking about the Hometown Nine?
Yeah. Look? Yeah. What is wrong with
them? Well, it's not pitching. It's the offense. It has been the offense. I think generally, you know, the rotation, the bullpen's been fuzzy. Sure, I get that. But the rotation, it's given them a chance every night. And there's not a whole lot more you can ask of those guys. It's the offense. It's, you know, five or six guys hitting below 240 in the lineup from night to night and not having a whole lot of other options because – let's face it, you have a pretty good team on the injured list at this point, right? Tom Murphy, Mitch Haniger. It's been a rough go for them. They did play well on that last road trip, and I think that inspired some hope that, hey, you're coming home. You're going to play 22 of your next 30 games at T-Mobile Park. Now's the time. Step on the gas. Now's the time to get back in this thing. But lo and behold, here, are we a week into this, and they're, 2-5 so far? Mm. Not buried by any means, but, boy, they got to get going.
I mean, I feel like I'm going to ask a question, and I think the answer is going to be obvious, but I'm hoping, I guess, maybe peel some layers away and to see what else they can do besides sacrificing something. They're getting guys on. I mean, I think the stat I saw yesterday, I'm sure you're aware of it, it's they lead baseball, or at least lead the American League in stranded runners. Besides the obvious, they're just not having guys drive them home. I mean, what is it? Why are they having this ability to put people on and not coming up with that hit? Is it just a simple explanation of Mitch Haniger's on, you know, is injured, so is Kyle Lewis, but Kyle Lewis wasn't here for all that long, and Tom Murphy, I mean, what is it that Scott Service could possibly do you think, or at least they've discussed, to make it where they're getting these key hits in these situations where they got guys on?
Yeah, you brought up an interesting point right there at the top of your long-winded question, Jason, in terms of they are getting guys on. Now, if you weren't getting guys on, then you got a real problem, yeah. Right? So at least guys are getting on base, and I think we all recognize that offense is down throughout baseball. And these guys have put up some crooked numbers on the scoreboard at times. They're not god-awful by any means. But here's the thing, you know, the cavalry's not coming. Haniger, Murphy, those guys aren't coming back anytime soon. Kyle Lewis hasn't resumed baseball activities. We're not going to see him for a little bit. So it's incumbent upon these guys on the roster, and you're asking about what does Scott Service do, it's incumbent upon the guys on the roster, the position players, to play better. I mean, yeah, they could dip down in Tacoma and bring up Justin Upton, and maybe that happens this weekend, and maybe that helps. Maybe you catch lightning in a bottle with a guy that has been a run producer during his career, but at 34, certainly, and no knock on Justin, but, you know, he's at the tail end of his run here. And maybe just mix and match the lineup a little bit more, but you just don't have a whole lot of other options unless you begin to look outside the organization.
How's the clubhouse dealing with this right now?
You know, I think, and it's hard to, sort of feel the tenor of the room a little bit, but, I think they're disappointed, and I think they're upset because they look around and they've said this, that, hey, we believe we have a good group here. And this isn't just, hyperbole or coach speak. I think we could all recognize that, that they have some good players in that lineup. Jesse Winker, Adam Frazier, guys who have produced, guys who have been all-stars in the past, just aren't hitting for whatever reason. You kind of hang your hat on in this game past performance because while it's not a complete indicator of future success, at least a guy has it in him, right? There's no real question marks before the season, like Julio Rodriguez, he's never played in the big leagues. We don't know exactly what this is going to look like. No one did. And if they said, that he would do what he's doing now, I think a lot of people might not believe it. He's been that good. But, you can't be leaning on a 21-year-old who's played less than 70 games in the big leagues to be one of your top three players at this point. And if he becomes that, that's great. But the other guy's got to start hitting.
Corey Brock is with us, covers the Mariners for The Athletic. Corey Brock, MLB. We looked at this yesterday. I mean, the stretch of 18 games that they have, they're going to play the Angels 8 times. And, of course, they've been scuffling. But just in time, right, are they going to start turning it around? Then you've got the A's for 7 and Baltimore for 3. And so we determined that that's an 18-game stretch. What can they go during that stretch? And I said yesterday, I think for them to really get back in this thing, a 13-5 stretch is almost not required, but boy, would that be gravy. But Corey, they find themselves here when they finish up this stretch July 3rd, when they finish up their three-game series against Oakland. Do you think whatever they do in the stretch determines what they will do at the trade deadline, because they'll be about a month away from that?
Yeah, I do. I do. And that's why I think this is such a critical stretch. And for listeners who don't know, the trade deadline is now August 2nd. It had typically been July 31st. So it's just a couple days. But yeah, I think it will, because I think this is a stretch that will determine when they come out of that home series and head to San Diego on July 4th. They're going to have a pretty fair idea of where they're at. And I wouldn't say a clearer idea of what they need. I mean, I think we all know what they need. It's just that teams are still slightly reticent to making deals. I won't say this early in the season, but I think it's becoming abundantly clear that they're going to have to add something. And to do that, of course, they're going to have to give up something. That probably means parting with a prized prospect or two as we get into this. That's the only way to add to this mix. And who knows, maybe Jared Kelnick comes back. I don't know. You get Kyle Lewis in the mix. We just haven't seen this entire group really healthy very often. I'd say just a handful of times. The lineup they sort of envisioned at the start of spring training, they haven't been able to field that. So, but at some point, you can't wait around. You got the game moves on. You have to move on, and maybe that requires making some tough decisions.
And it comes in, and if things don't go their way in the stretch of games, something that I never would imagine before the season started, Corey, was them being sellers at that point.
Yeah, I don't think any of us did. Especially if you take a look at the rebuild, we're at a point where, they should be contending for a postseason spot now, especially with the expanded postseason and more opportunity to get into the big dance. 2019 was the first year of the rebuild. 2020, truncated season, okay. Last year, 90 wins, magic pixie dust, a lot of elements that weren't going to be possible to replicate. And I hope people understand that. Mm-hmm. But I think this was the year, and they went out and added Robbie Ray. And I think on paper, those deals for Adam Frazier, Jesse Winker, and Gino Suarez, who I have no bones with, I think he's been fabulous. I don't know how you feel about
He's been better than Winker. If you would have told me that this guy would have been better than Winker, you're crazy. But he has been, and not a little bit better. I mean, significantly better.
Yeah, and has been like a plus defender, or a league average to slightly plus defender at third base. Mm. So like, no issue with him at all. And you got him under club control. So yeah, I think the moves that they made, and people, of course, will continue to say, oh, they should have gone out and got so and so and so and so. I don't know. And we don't know the circumstances behind all that. But this is the team they have now, and they do have a chance to improve upon it. But it's going to cost them at this point. But I don't think they ever envisioned a scenario, to get back to your question, where at the trade deadline they'd be selling players.
Do you think, Corey, last thing for you, if they continue to kind of go down this trend that they're in, they signed these two guys to extensions in the offseason. I believe Jerry was one more year than Scott. Do you think one or both get sacrificed if they cannot win games here and they really go into a tailspin? Or do you envision John Stanton ownership saying, you guys are fine, we gave you extensions, let this year play out?
Yeah, I don't see them making a rash move, sort of like I think the Angels did with Joe Maddon. Maybe not so much with the Phillies with Joe Girardi, but and we get back to the whole thing, especially when you're talking about the manager specifically, he ain't making any pitches. He's not hitting. This isn't a matter of maybe the fans don't like how he puts together a lineup. So what? That has a minimal impact on the game. This has always been about the players. So, but at some point, maybe change has to be made and someone has to kind of be the sacrificial lamb, I guess. But I just don't see it. I don't see those two guys as being the problem. I think it's incumbent upon the players to play better.
Yeah. What's your favorite beer right now? I know this beer has been around for a while, but I've been in a real Trumer Pilsner funk right now. I just can't stop drinking it. What do you got on tap there at the Corey Brock household?
Well, that's a great choice. I think Trumer Pils is from Berkeley. I bet you could find. I think Bailbreaker has a really good Pilsner. Have you been to that tasting room?
I've not been to that tasting room, but I've had that. Hold on. I just had that this weekend. and hold on, I can't remember the name of it, but that was fantastic. What the hell is that thing called? I think it's just called Bale Breaker Pilsner, right?
Yeah,
that's really good.
With that. But hey, I let me give you the name of a brewery, especially for hopheads.
Yeah.
This guy, Matt Storm in Seattle, has a place. Well, it's called Fast Fashion. They actually brew out at No Boat out in Snoqualmie.
Okay.
But his beers are fabulous, and you could find those at the two Masonry locations in Fremont and Lower Queen Anne, and they make fabulous pizza, too. And no, I do not work there or get paid for endorsements.
What's the name of the What's the name of it again?
Fast Fashion is the brewery, and you could find their beers at, you know, bottle shops around town. And then the place, Matt's place, is the Masonry, Fremont. Right. And Lower Queen Anne, and make sure you get the pizza to go with that beer because it's wonderful.
Yeah, I've been to the Lower Queen Anne one. You're no doubt about that one. That is a great place. Corey, you're the best, man. Get better. We appreciate you coming on. Thanks so much, and we'll talk soon.
Hey, Puck, happy Father's Day.
Oh, you as well, too. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it very much. Thank you. There he is. Corey Brock covers the Mariners for the Athletic. And follow him on Twitter at Corey Brock MLB. Yeah, we got to do some Father's Day. I forgot it. Yeah, well. You know, it's easy to forget it's Father's Day this week. You want to know why? Because nobody in your family ever remembers it's Father's Day. Because we get the short end of everything. We just do. I mean, every day's Mother's Day, it feels like. Dads, we never get anything. Never get our day. Never get our time to do things, you know, that we want to do. Big thanks to Corey Brock. Speaking of dads, I have filed a dad complaint to the Mariners about a few issues at the ballpark yesterday. We'll bring it up on the show. We'll see if any other dads agree. Also, Scott Rosenthal, he is a golf instructor at Interbay right down the street from us. He's got a golfer that's in the U.S. Open. Scott's a character. He's a good guy. He's going to join us at 11:05. And then a reminder, 11:30 today, voicemails. The go-to guy is not here. He claims he's sick, claims. It's a Friday. He wants to get out. So the voicemails on the iHeartRadio app, little mic icon there. What is Jim actually doing? Edition of voicemails today at 11:30. I'm here for the update coming up here from the U.S. Open by Westwood One. We'll talk to Scott Rosenthal. He's an Interbay teacher coming up top of the hour. He's got a golfer that's in the U.S. Open. Know Scott a little bit from times over at Interbay. Fun story. He's a fun character, so we'll talk to Scott top of the hour. Impressions there of Brookline also with having a player in a major in a U.S. Open for the very first time. Andrew Novak is his player, and I think Andrew right now is at 6 over or 7 over. Here are my two. We'll pick this up, I think, in, after we talk to Scott. Here are my two dad complaints from the game yesterday. I haven't been to a game this early because we wanted to get there to watch batting practice, and I took the Vampire there. And we really wanted to go see, clearly, Mike Trout take BP and try to get a Mike Trout autograph like everybody else in the entire city tried to do yesterday. It was packed. When did we start doing 90 minutes before the game? They open up the stadium. And I guess this has been a thing all year long, talking to the fine folks there at the Mariners. But I remember back today, it was at least 2 hours. I always thought it was earlier than 2 hours, too. I thought it was even like 2.5 hours, but I guess not. But when you get in there now, I don't know if anybody else as a father or mother experiences this. You can't even watch the Mariners take batting practice anymore. What's the point? Like, that seems kind of odd, right? That's a legitimate complaint. I think the Mariners are going to get behind. And I think we start a movement here. This show's nothing about movement. We start movements, Chris. Open it back up to 2 hours so we can watch the Mariners take batting practice. Now, therein lies the joke, because I know what's coming. Why do you want to watch them take batting practice? They can't hit anything anyways. That's a fair point. Can't disagree with that. But I'd like to see Julio try to hit some bombs out of the ballpark. Just a dad complaint. Just a small dad complaint. And dad complaint number two is this. They need to employ someone there at the Mariners, but if they don't, that's fine. Leave it up to dads like me. You loser adults that go there to get autographs and then get in the way of kids to prevent them from getting autographs, you are the biggest losers I have ever seen in life. Like these dorks that sit there with photo albums of cards that they want players to sign. These, and they're not even 30, they're 45-year-old losers who then prevent 8 to 12-year-olds from getting to see their heroes. I mean, I lost it like on two guys. Like, guys, what are you doing? Get out of their way. I have every right to be here. You're 45. You're probably a virgin. You have no right being here. Get on Tinder. Get laid. Get out of their way. That's it. 49451. Tell them we're due text line. Let me know if you got any more issues. Dad complaints that we can send the Mariners. Dad complaints. That's what we do here. We fix problems. We're problem solvers. Scott Rosenthal, Inter Bay golf instructor. He's got a golfer in the U.S. Open. We're going to talk to Scott coming up next. Speaking of the U.S. Open, an update from Westwood One.